Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, my brother.
Are we on? Do you hear me? I can't hear you. Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. Now, as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am so excited because tonight we will conclude with the book of Romans. Now, the study will provide how Paul instructed the Romans without much leniency, as I've shared with you before. The Romans received a stern message from Paul, very academic. Paul delineated the ways of godliness through Jesus Christ. Now, as a reminder, all of our lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I always do, I highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers and comments or inquiries, if you have any. Now, as I always do before we get started, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you for that. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question is, for this hour again, is are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, through Paul the Apostle, this say I then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So the promise is if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus said again through James, his stepbrother, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So the promise, if you are going to work your faith, you must stand on this promise. And Jesus said again through Peter the apostle, for if these things be in you, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, love, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. So again, what that says, if we stand on the promises, if we complete those attributes, faith, virtue, knowledge, and the like, we will be not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, before we start this evening, I want all of you, my precious brothers and sisters, to know that the Bible is written in code, and the only way to break the code is through study. Now, to the study. We're going to go to instruction number 22, and there are 30 instructions that complete this study. And the Bible that we're going to be taking it from, the text, is going to be Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. That's Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And what we're going to extract from the text is this instruction: only righteous authority. Obey only righteous authority. And this is what the text says: let every soul be subjected unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are to be are ordained of God. Now that means that those that are righteous, verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Thou then should be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subjected, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, that's taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually unto this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. What Paul is telling us is that righteous authority we should respond to affirmatively. Now let's go to our complement. We're going to go to the book of Job, chapter 36, and we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. That is Job chapter 36, and we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. And this is how the complement ties this in and connects the dot. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Now, I am giving you a verse that is taken out of Job that was given to him by one of the four that confronted Job after he had lost all that he had owned. And so what it is telling us is that those who were in authority realized that godly authority or righteous authority is the authority we should be following, and the unrighteous authority is the one that should be in question. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must respect, have respect, or and respond to godly authority in everyone, but not the immoral laws of the land or the immoral authorities. So that is something that we should and are subjected to constantly, or the conflict between the moral and the immoral. So that's the instructions that we are identifying in verse 22, or not verse 22, in a question or instruction number 22. Now I'm going to go to the break.
My message will be brief, and I want you to listen carefully and prayerfully and reverently, because for many of you, you will never be the same again. Not because of me, but because of the Word of God that can transform and change your life. You can leave here with your sins forgiven. You can leave here knowing that you're going to heaven. What a marvelous thing. You can leave here with peace in your heart in a troubled and torn world. Now I want you to turn with me tonight to the 10th chapter of Luke, and a very familiar passage that every young person here will relate to, young and old. The 10th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus was asked that same question about 19 times in his period of ministry that is recorded in the Gospels in various forms. He was asked that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But no one has ever done it. No one in the history of the human race has ever loved God with all his heart, mind, and strength all of his life, and his neighbor as himself all his life. That's the reason we've all come short. We're all sinners, and we all need to repent of our sins and find forgiveness at the cross. But he, willing still now to justify himself, as many of you would like to justify yourself, said, but who is my neighbor? See, he was a lawyer, and it was his job to cross-examine. He said, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And notice he did 10 things. He had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, poured in oil, poured in wine, set him on his own horse, or his beast, and took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, said Jesus to the lawyer, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, go thou and do likewise. Now, this is not a parable. This is not a story that Jesus had made up. It's an actual event. And Jesus gave this story as an answer to these two questions that this lawyer asked. The first question, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Everybody here would like to have eternal life. Everybody would like to know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You know you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. You cannot escape death, but you'd like to know that you have eternal life. Now, eternal life does not begin at death. Eternal life begins the moment you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are many people that are here and now alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. You're dead toward God. You have no relationship and no fellowship with God whatsoever. You go to church and you go through all the rituals and you have religion, but you don't really have Jesus Christ. And so religion becomes rather dull to you. It's a disappointment to you. And so you try to find your kicks in drugs or sex or something else. You turn to other things to escape, because there's always this empty place in everybody's heart that only God can fill, because you were made in the image of God, and without God, there's an emptiness. There's a lacking. And you're always, all your life, searching for something, and you're searching for eternal life. You want eternal life. You can have eternal life right tonight. It could start tonight in your heart as Christ comes to dwell in your life and in your heart.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, we are now on instruction number 23, and we're back again in our text, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. That's where we're going to be extracting this instruction from, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. And this is the instruction that we want to look at as we read the text. Love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what we want to keep in mind as we read the text. And this is what Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10 says. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandments, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So Paul is telling us that because we know that God is love, all of what is done in love fulfills the law. Now, what we're going to do is look at our complement and see how the Old Testament connected this dot in saying the same thing. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. It says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now this is the key. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. So we can see that God gave Israel the total commandment of love. And then in the New Testament, it is broken down more specifically to identify the agape love, which we are familiar with hearing. The Greeks, the word love, and they divided it into four different definitions. And the agape love that is talked about in Deuteronomy and what Paul is talking about is the God love. The other three identify the fraternal love, the maternal and paternal love, and sexual love. Now, this is what the instruction should mean spiritually in our lives, that God is love, and we must have God love, as the Greeks call it, agape love. Not just any other type of love, like the maternal or paternal or fraternal or even sexual love, but all are included in God love. That is what is so amazing about the power of God's love, that all of the other loves are included into God's love as long as it is righteous. Even the sexual love. Remember, we are taught that it doesn't defile the marriage bed, this love. If you have committed yourself according to godliness. So that's the instruction, what it should mean to us. If you have any questions, get it to the host. He's in the chat room, or get it to me through email or the like, and we will respond to it accordingly. Now we're going to go to the next instruction number 28, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to read several other verses. But this is what we're going to glean from Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, and the other verses. The instruction is, beware of your brother's weak faith. This is significant. We need to beware of our brother's weak faith. And this is what Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 says. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Now, what we have to realize that the faith could be in the beginning stages, and we have to make sure that if we are more mature in our faith, that we don't discourage those who are beginning in their faith. And verse 2 says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs, and is just like a baby. You can't feed the baby meat before it has milk. And then we want to go to verse 14, and verse 14 says, I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You have to be very careful, because what we are being taught, especially in society, that some things are okay or not okay, and we find out in the long run that the opposite is true. Now what we're going to do is go to verse 22 and verse 23, and this is what it concludes. It says, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which is allowed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And what is so critical here is the idea that if you think that you have sinned because of the faith that you have today, the individual that may know a little more about the situation, in fact, there are good examples of that, and I'll have to give you one after we get to the what the instruction should mean to us. But let us now go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and 4, and this is going to give us our connection. This is what the Old Testament says about the being beware of your brother's weak faith. It says in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and 4, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. So to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The thing what Isaiah is saying is that we are not to discourage those who are weak in the faith, but we are to encourage them. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must consider those especially who are young in the faith, but those who are old in the faith but weak to applying it correctly, we should address deliberately. And so that's the key, and that is so significant, because again, the example is that if you have a 10-year-old, that 10-year-old's faith is not going to be like that of a 50-year-old. But that 10-year-old has to own up to what he believes his faith is, and he must stay the course. So we cannot tell them that, for instance, smoking and drinking is a sin, because smoking and drinking in itself is not a sin. It's the excess of that which creates the sin. But if that 10-year-old is young in his faith, we can't discourage them or encourage them either. We can only encourage them. If they believe that smoking and drinking is a sin, don't dispute it. That is what Paul is telling us. All right. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. The next instruction is 25, and we're going to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. And this is what we're going to take from the text we're reading. The instruction is the kingdom of God is not food or drink. That is what we are going to look at as we read these verses. The verse, Romans 14, verse 17 through 19 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of by men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." And the conclusion of that is saying that we're looking at the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. We all know that the kingdom of God is where God is. And in the Old Testament, it spoke more of physical things than in the New Testament. But we know now Jesus tells us that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And this is why the spiritual is emphasized. So now we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to see the link of the Old Testament, what it says. We're going to go to Psalms 145, verse 11 through 13. Psalms 145, verse 11 through 13, and this is what it tells us about the kingdom of God. It says, "They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty works," that's more physical, "and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." And what was being said by the psalmist is that God's kingdom is both physical and spiritual. And we know that that is the truth. But what we're looking at in Paul's writing is that the spiritual is emphasized more than the physical. And this is what the instruction should mean spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we must understand that wherever God is his kingdom. Because of his reign over all, heaven and earth. But because of the fall of mankind, the earth has been cursed. And that is the reason for the separation of the spiritual from the physical. The physical dies, the spiritual doesn't. So when we're looking at the kingdom of God, we want to emphasize more the spiritual aspect than the physical aspect. And what I didn't get a chance to read, which I should have, well, I'll reiterate it. And after the break, we'll continue.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looks for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to him. He's honored when we talk to him. And he's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, "Call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." If he can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if he can give us the Ten Commandments, he can answer any prayer we pray that fits his will and his plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring his power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go on to instruction number 26. If you have any questions, or if I miss or am getting you confused, please let me know, and I'll at the next session, I will take care of that. We're going to go to instruction number 26. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 is what we're going to take our instruction from. And this is the instruction, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what Paul is addressing in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And this is what Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comforts of the scriptures may have hope." Now, this is significant because there was much scripture written and available at that time to Paul. Remember, if not, the Bible had not been compiled until the third century. And we're talking in the first century now. So there were so many other scriptures that were available that Paul drew from. And this is what now we're going to go to the complement, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 and 2, and see how the Old Testament tells us more about this basic instructions before leaving earth. And then I'll get into more details about it during the instruction period. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, and this is what it says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, this is what Moses was telling Israel, that God commanded, that basic instructions before leaving earth was not just the Bible as we know it today, because the Bible had not been compiled, but there were many, many, many other writings that were around in that time frame. For instance, the Dead Sea Scroll was around in that time frame. You had a document called the Apocrypha that was around in that time frame. You had a lot of different material other than the Protestant canon that we draw from today. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that every word inspired or spoken directly coming from God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Ghost, and from others must and should be responded to accordingly. Now, what we understand is that there are other writings. For instance, there are maybe six different canons in existence today. The Protestant canon, that is the one that we draw from, the King James Version of the Bible, has 66 books. But if you go to the Roman Catholic Bible, they have 73 books. If you go to the Eastern Orthodox canon, those Christians have 78 books. And if you go to the Ethiopian canon, those Christians have 81. And I'm not going to get into the details, but what I'm just trying to say is that basic instructions before leaving earth is involved in all of scripture that is written. And it's up to us to discern and rightfully divide the truth out of all that has been written. And so those who are studious, take that note and dive in. Now we're going to go to instruction number 27, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, and we're going to also read verse 7, verse 9 through 12. And this is significant. This is what the instruction is going to be taken from the text that we're going to review. We should embrace all mankind. Okay? That is very significant. Paul is saying, or in this text, we're going to read about what we should be embracing, and that's all of mankind. That's just those who are in your family or those who think like you or look like you, but all of mankind. And this is what Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good unto edification. Now that means for godliness sake, we should reach out to all. Now let's read verse 7. It says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So Christ has called all unto salvation. Now those that don't respond, that's a different story. But still, he is open to all mankind to be saved. Now this is what verse 9 through 12 says. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to them among the Gentiles and to sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust. So what we're saying is that all of mankind, the Gentiles to Israel, were all other than Israel. So all should be embraced. And what we're going to do now is go to the Old Testament and look at the complement. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 66, and we're going to see what Isaiah chapter 66 says and connects the dot on embracing all of mankind. This is what Isaiah 66 verse 19 says. It says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations of to Tarsus, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, and to the isles far off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. Now listen, this is key. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So Isaiah is also predicting or prophesying that the Gentiles also are going to be a part of those who also can listen. Now we want to go to this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And after the break, I'll explain.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Amen. Okay, so now what we're going to do is see what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. The instruction says we should embrace all mankind. Now, this is what we should be looking at. Our covenant with Jesus Christ, or the Great Commission, if you will, is to go into all the world and preach and teach the kingdom of God and baptize all mankind. So that is why we should embrace all mankind. But it's for the benefit of Jesus Christ and Christianity, not for the benefit of the world. So that's what the instruction should mean to us in our lives. Now we're going to go to instruction number 28. And this instruction is taken from Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. And this is what we're going to extract from this verse. The instruction is salute with a holy kiss. That's what Paul says that we should do one for another. Salute with a holy kiss. Now, this is what the scripture says. 16, verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, this is a nuance. And a nuance is a gesture, a warm and friendly gesture. And we know that some do kiss on the cheek, some kiss on the neck. And we also know that you could even kiss with the hand. You could kiss your lips and toss it to whomever you're kissing to. The point is the salute. That's the key. Now what we want to do is go to 1 Samuel, verse 10, or chapter 10. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verse 3 and 4. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. And this is what is said in the Old Testament about salutations. It says, verse 3 and 4. Then shall thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. The point is that there is some form of salutation that we should have with one another. And this is what the instruction should mean in our lives. It should mean that we should approach one another showing favor, friendliness, some sign of welcome or appreciation to accommodate. Whatever sign that may be, example, it could be shaking hands or hugging. The point is made that there should be some form of salutation or recognition of Christians one to another. Now we're going to go to instruction number 29, and we're going to go back to Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 19. And this is the instruction that we should be taking from Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 19. Avoid controversy with those who are not like-minded. That is very significant. And this is what Paul says about it in 16, verse 17 through 19. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So what Paul is saying, and that is very significant, that we should be careful with unequally yoking ourselves with non-believers. Now, remember, Paul will tell you in future texts that we'll be reading about, future studies, that we should be separate one from another, that is what God is telling us to do. And what we're going to see, that holds true when we go to the Bible complement. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, and we're going to see that Isaiah is telling the Israelites basically the same thing in verse 11. Chapter 52, verse 11, this is what Isaiah is telling Israel. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. So it is for us to understand that we are to avoid those who are not like-minded, especially under controversy. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually, my brothers and sisters. It should mean that except to share the word of God with others, we should not strive with them and not become, as Paul put it, unequally yoked with unbelievers. So that is the key to this instruction, is that we should share the word of God, but not to the point of controversy, where today we find folks that even physically fight behind this. All right, now we're going to go to the last instruction, and that is instruction number 30, and it is a simple one. It is Romans chapter 16, verse 22. Romans chapter 16, verse 22. And this is just a tidbit. It's novel, the reason that I included it in as an instruction. And it says, Paul did not write the book of Romans. Okay? Now, this is significant in our study when you are going into specifics. But in general terms, it may not be so significant. But Paul did not write the book of Romans. And Romans chapter 16, verse 22 tells us that. It says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. And the reason that that's significant is because when you have others who write for you, they are their own personality, and sometimes you don't get it verbatim. Now, to connect this thought, we're going to go to our complement. We're going to go back to Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 4. And this is what we're going to see how it happened in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 4. And this is what it says. It says, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So you can see the book of Jeremiah was not written by Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah was written by Baruch. And this is what we should glean or understand from this spiritually in our lives, that the books of the Bible were not written all by those who are named for the books. And that's just a tidbit, that it is not verbatim that you could say those, for instance, the book of John or 1 John, the epistles of John. It is reported that it was written by a school of John called the Johannine group that wrote those. And so that is the significance there. All right. What I want to do now is from time to time, in accordance with my mission statement, that everybody be exposed to salvation. My good brothers and sisters, this is what the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, which I stand on. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it all right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So this being said, here are some of the highlights of our program's description and format that I haven't shared with you in a while. The first one is the stressing of the spiritual aspect of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus the Christ said it best, it is the spirit that quickens and the flesh profited nothing. Number two, drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. Three, using the Old Testament and the New Testament to compare with and to substantiate each other with the other. Four, the use of scripture to validate opinions. Five, our mission statement is, this is for everybody. Okay, so that being said, what I'd like to do is maybe give you a preview of what's to come next week, we're going to be going into the book of Deuteronomy. And that is going to be a very good study. And it's going to show how Moses rehearses to the children of Israel the laws of God, and how there were 613 laws established for Israel to keep. And we're going to take a close look at the essential roles and regulations that Israel was under during this time in their existence. What must we do this side of the Jordan River is going to be one of the instructions we're going to look at. Only possess that which I tell you is another instruction we're going to consider. Disobedience to God causes us to lose out, and that is going to be looked at with concentration. Keeping the laws of God is our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Very significant, my brothers and sisters. We will address that. And the Ten Commandments, for sure. And our righteousness is to do God's commandment. And outside the children of God, we must not take part. Those are going to be what we're going to be studying next week. Now, before we conclude this evening, I'm just going to quickly review what we went over today. And this was in the book of Romans, and what Paul gave us, he said that obey righteous authority. So we know that if it's unrighteous, it doesn't matter if it's a law on the books. There are so many laws that are today on the books that you could consider them unrighteous. Those are not what Paul is talking about. And the next instruction, 23, says we love is the fulfillment of the law. And we know that God is love. So because of that point, that God is love, that fulfills the law if we love agape, as I identified in the Greek vernacular for God love. And the instruction number 24 tells us to beware of your brother's weak faith. And that is so critical, because we have a tendency, because some may consider themselves well vested in the knowledge of God, that they are not delicate with those who have less faith or less knowledge. And we don't want to discourage. We want to encourage. That's what edification stands for, encouraging one another. The instruction number 25 says the kingdom of God is not food and drink. Now, that is critical to us, because we know that Jesus Christ gave us maybe 10 or 15 different examples in the Gospels of what the kingdom of God is like. And that is significant to us. And Paul stresses it, that it is not food and drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. That is all spiritual, my brothers and sisters. Righteousness is believing in God and keeping his commandments. Peace. Paul is talking about the reconciliation of Christ back for us, back to God. That is our peace. Remember, Isaiah said that Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. So that's the peace we're talking about. It's spiritual. And then, of course, joy in the Holy Ghost. And we know that the joy in the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I would not leave you comfortless. I will ask the Father to send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, which will teach you all things of God, will guide you in all truth. And we know that Paul identified and delineated for us the gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost. There are 18 total, 9 each gifts, 9 each fruit. And those, if we are in the kingdom of God, we should be enjoying those fruits. So that's what that instruction is telling us. And instruction number 26, basic instructions before leaving Earth. That is critical. We know that we have enough information in our canon to satisfy our salvation. But for those of you who want more, if you want to see more of Jesus in other scriptures, you can reach out to some of those that I mentioned to you earlier, the Apocrypha, and the Dead Sea Scrolls is all Old Testament scripture. But still, there's a manuscript called the Nag Hammadi manuscript that is filled with a lot of New Testament writings. And the reason that it didn't end up in the New Testament, you can research that. But it's called the Nakamati Manuscripts. The point is that basic instructions before leaving Earth is what we should engulf ourselves in, and that's all scriptures that were written. Now, instruction number 27 says we should embrace all mankind. Remember the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy, that it is the will of God that all mankind be saved. And we know that even in Jeremiah, the prophet, he said that God does not wish any of the wicked to perish. So that tells us that because of our commission, we are to go out into the world and we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many as we meet and greet. And that means all. Now, instruction number 28 tells us about saluting one another. And this is something that is good. And the way that it is done is different in different practices. But we are just looking at what Paul was saying. And we are knowing because of COVID right now that giving one another a holy kiss other than blowing a holy kiss to one another is something that we should take note of and consider not doing during this season that we're in. Instruction number 29 talks about avoiding controversy with those who are not like-minded. Well, we know that it is critical that we do not be unequally yoked, as Paul says, with non-believers. And that is something that if, again, Paul continues, and he tells us that, and that what communion has light with darkness, what righteousness has, with righteousness and unrighteousness, I can't think of the point that Paul made, but all of that is significant to us not being yoked with unminded. And then the last one was Paul did not write the Book of Romans.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as we say goodbye tonight to our precious brothers and sisters, remember what Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear."